Okay, we've got small pieces and large pieces. How do we want to start?
On a midweek morning in September of last year, Capalia Hayes faced the daunting task of clearing out several storage units located off Bowling Green, Scottsville Road. She had deposited their contents 11 years earlier. With her to help out were Dr. Michael Ann Williams, head of Western's Folk Studies and Anthropology Department, along with her colleague, Dr. Akumakalu Njoku, and several graduate students, including myself.
Okay, these are bows and arrows.
The reason the WKU Folk Studies and Anthropology contingent was present was because a few days earlier, another professor in the department had been contacted about the collection, as Dr. Williams explains.
It was last fall, and somebody had contacted Dr. Darlene Applegate about the possibility of this collection being donated, and she had sent the word out to the faculty, and Dr. Njoku had responded immediately and gone out and taken a look, and he came back and was very, very excited about it. And so that's how I ended up going out to first see it.
And what was your first impression of it?
I was very impressed. I mean, even though this material had been in storage for a long time, I mean, it was clearly very impressive ethnographic artifacts from Liberia, and I knew how excited Dr. Njoku was about the nature of the things, so we were really tickled about it.
Is there a distinction between the fishing arrows and the arrows that are used for mammals, for wildlife?
The metal ones, which are stronger animals.
As we unpacked the contents of the storage units, Capalia had lots of questions for Dr. Njoku. Dr. Njoku is himself from West Africa and has a special interest in the Liberian people and culture. He told me why his first look at the collection had made such an impression.
I was surprised at the authenticity, how it has not been tampered with, unlike other things I see people bring here, which they have made some attempts to alter things. This was recognizably African. They appeared as things I would have found in my own altar in my village, yes.
These Liberian artifacts, which include a range of musical instruments like the ones we're hearing now, were part of a larger collection that had been put together by Capalia Hayes's parents.
Oh, wow.
Capalia, who was born in Liberia and who now lives in Germany and Peru, explained to me how they were amassed and why they were in these storage units.
My parents lived in Liberia, and then they lived in Vietnam, and then in Nepal. And through their travels, they collected many things, and these are the things that I grew up with. And when my mother passed away 11 years ago, I just was not prepared to do anything with it, and I just put it all in storage when we sold our house. And it's taken me 11 years to come back to look at it all and to decide what it is that I want to keep and live with, and then what was I going to do with the rest of it.
The reason Capalia's parents traveled so much was because of the work of her father, Dr. Daniel Hayes.
He was educational advisor to the government of Liberia. Now, Liberia, when the slaves were given their freedom here in the USA, those that wanted to return to Africa went back to Liberia. And so Liberia comes from the word liberty. So I know the USA has never had a colony, but the closest thing to a colony is Liberia.
Dr. Hayes was based in Liberia during the 1950s and 60s. And I asked Capalia what he actually did whilst he was out there.
He went and learned the customs of the people and got to know them, and then negotiated with the chief of the village and involved the whole community to get them to build communal schools. So these were schools that were built by the community to educate their children. And then he traveled around and he gathered stories of the Vai tribe, of the Dan tribe. So he went into their folklore and then he used their folklore as lesson plans in order to teach the children.
Now these will be in the museum, they will be curated, right?
Yes.
They will, wonderful.
Daniel Hayes spent 10 years working in Liberia. He passed away in 1974. Capalia's decision to donate these artifacts to the Department of Folk Studies and Anthropology at Western was based on her father's profession, but also, more specifically, because he was born and raised in Bowling Green.
My father, being an educator, I knew that this needed to go back to the community where he came from. And since he was from Bowling Green and he went to Western Kentucky University, I thought this would be the perfect opportunity to return some of his possessions to his roots and through these possessions so that he could help educate the general public.
Now the general public will be able to see these Liberian artifacts for the first time when the special exhibition opens at the Kentucky Museum. The exhibition will be the culmination of the work of the students in Dr. Michael Ann Williams' museum class. Molly Bolick is one of them, and she has led a research team. She and her colleagues have been finding out more about Dr. Daniel Hayes, Liberia, and the work that he was doing there. As part of that, they tracked down and spoke with one of Dr. Hayes' colleagues from Liberia, Dr. Witten.
We found out so much about Dr. Hayes, that he just loved Liberia, that he loved his work, that he loved the people, that he spent so much time doing sort of rural development and education. A lot of people, he said, going into this type of government aid work, just work and that's it. But he said that Dr. Hayes loved, I think Dr. Witten said he even loved the snakes.
Molly and a fellow grad student also went out to Indiana University, which is home to one of the nation's leading Liberian collections. And there they spoke with Dr. Vernon Stone, a specialist in Liberian culture, and Dr. Ellen Sieber, who is a curator there at the Mathers Museum of World Cultures. I asked if they had been impressed by the collection so kindly donated by Capalia Hayes.
Oh, yes. They said that we have a lot of things that they didn't even have, like, for example, some of our musical instruments they were really excited about. And a lot of things that they were saying, like these everyday objects, which are just an important sort of picture of what life was like then in Liberia. And, for example, we have dolls that look really interesting, and even a little boy's slingshot, which just some of these little things that are just such neat glimpses into the culture.
Earlier this week, I went along to the Kentucky Museum to see how it was all coming together. There I found grad students Katie Wynn and Savannah Napier hard at work. Katie told me there will be sections devoted to the aforementioned musical instruments, as well as sacred items, children's items, and one given over to everyday items.
It's going to have things like bags and baskets, talismans that were more made for tourist items and for fun. And then Savannah's been in charge of doing the interactive family sections, which are in these portals.
So what's in the interactive section?
In the interactive section, we have a spindle whirl, which is one of our objects in the cases, but I've recreated it so that you can actually touch it. And a spindle whirl is an item that turns raw wool into yarn. And then there's an interactive, can you guess the weight of an item we have? Because there's a particularly deceptive item. And then we also will have an MP3 player where you can listen to music. So some of the instruments in the cases, you can actually hear the sounds that they would create.
So if you'd like to visit this exhibition, which opens this Friday and is officially called An American Educator in Liberia, The Collection of Dr. Daniel Hayes, then contact the Kentucky Museum in Bowling Green on 270-745-2592. Or you could check out the link on the WKYU website. I'm Rachel Hopkin for the Folk Studies Program and the Public Radio Service of Western Kentucky University.